Well, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, CEO of Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. Today, we are targeting and talking about the 401k and the defined contribution industry. We'll talk about defined benefit briefly, but for the most part, we're talking about corporate retirement plans, the best ones to have. Everybody wants the best. Nobody wants to be sued by employees or ex-employees or labor lawyers or whatever happens in the industry to make life more complicated. And we're talking with Eric Peterson. Eric is one of the owners and a key player for us for Hicks Pension Services. So welcome, Eric.
Thank you for having me, Elliot.
Great. So Eric is a third-party administrator. We are financial fiduciary advisors on 401k. There's a difference. We are all part of your team. And we're going to talk about what that means to be part of your team rather than leave you out there and good luck trying to figure out your own problems and own answers. So let's get right into this, Eric. The key question that everybody wants to know in general is America, our companies, our employees, are they ready for retirement?
It's generally accepted that financially America is underprepared for retirement. If you look at the statistics on what the average person participant in a retirement plan has accumulated so far, it's not enough to get us to be able to retire comfortably. Through a few statistics I'll throw out, you know, if you're in your 40s, the average account balance for somebody 40 years old is $93,000. When you get to my age group, the 50 to 59, it goes to 160. And then those in their 60s, the average account balance is $180,000. Clearly, that's not enough to retirement, especially to live in California. As further evidence of this, you know, our federal government knows this and is trying to improve 401k plans and enhance them, make them better so that they can accumulate wealth quicker. The other thing that's happening here in California is our state is mandating that employers have a workplace retirement plan. That's a program called Cal Savers. And by, and this is an important date, by June 30, 2022, if you have five employees, you are mandated by our state to have a workplace retirement plan. If you don't like the traditional 401k plans, the state is offering something that's somewhat of a smaller offering. So I believe that most will go the 401k route. So generally, we are underprepared for retirement, which is not saving enough.
Great. And we're not really going to talk much about Cal Savers here. It's more or less a modified Roth 401k program for employees with lots of limitations that doesn't really do what your normal 401k does. Is that accurate, what I'm saying, Eric?
I would agree. I mean, $6,000 a year is, going back to those stats, somebody in my age group who only has 160 accumulated, putting in $6,000 a year for another 10, 15 years is not going to get us to retirement. We need to put in more.
And so why is investing in a corporate 401k so important? And I asked that question because as I was driving here this morning, I heard two separate financial radio jockeys talking about why the 401k is the biggest ripoff in America, and it's just a tax boom for the U.S. government. And they really discourage on their radio shows, and one is on radio and TV, they discourage employees from participating in the 401k. So why is it so important, Eric?
Well, when we look at the different ways to save, we have to take into the tax considerations. In a 401k plan, we have the opportunity to go pre-tax. What I mean by that is the earnings that we put into our retirement plan are not currently taxed. The traditional way people have done it without a 401k is to pay taxes on that money first. So if you look at any type of graph showing pre-tax versus after-tax, the pre-tax just grows so much quicker. It has that opportunity because that money did not go to the government. It went into your retirement plan. It is taxed later, but you are growing on that deferred amount. That is probably the biggest advantage we have in these 401k plans. You know, if we look at, again, some statistics here about what financial stresses we have, one of the highest ones is not saving enough towards retirement. That's what people are responding. in a larger percentage than paying off credit card debt or keeping up with monthly expenses. It's saving for retirement is one of the top stresses that we feel. An easier way to do it is to just have an automatic contribution coming out of your paycheck to sign up for it, and then it automatically comes out. It makes it more convenient. And not only is it convenient, but it is pre-tax. So that's where a company-sponsored 401k plan helps us. Now, some companies will offer a match. So that doubles down on why it's so much better, offering a match. Elliot, I too hear those radio shows, and I think there's a focus on the fees on why they say it's a ripoff. They aren't talking about the tax advantages that you receive in a 401k plan. You know, Elliot and I have worked together for a long, long time, and fees are always something that's considered upfront and reduced. And as 401ks become more widespread, the fees, there's been a lot of fee compression. So I don't agree with people saying they're a ripoff by any means. It's a tax strategy that we all should employ.
Great. Well, I'm in agreement with you. I do want, on a separate note, as we talk about the Roth IRA, which we won't spend time on, I want you to know that I've been doing this now in a 401k industry for 25 plus years. And I would say less than 2% of all the assets that we have, which are nine figures of assets, less than 2% of them are actually in Roth 401ks. The rest are all pre-tax, 98% pre-tax. So that is an important factor. And at the same time, Eric, there's been a growing trend because California is such a competitive market that we have to offer everything here that it may be in Kentucky or Arkansas, you don't. But the 401k is, for the most part, like health insurance. It's a employee benefit. Is that your experience too, that it makes a good retention tool for employees?
I have experienced that, as evidenced by this. When I first started, employers would tell me they would like to have a 401k plan so that they can look like a real legitimate business. And then they started telling me that employees would ask them, hey, if I'm going to work there, do you have a 401k plan? So in the hiring process, that was a question asked by potential employees. Now that has changed. They're assuming you have a 401k plan at your company. And they're asking, what is the match in the 401k plan? So that just tells me that this 401k as a fringe benefit is becoming much more important when employees are deciding where they're going to work. Now, health benefits, I think, are number one. There's no avoiding that. I mean, you have to have a health benefit. And it's traditional that comes through your employer. But number two is definitely the 401k. That's the question employees are asking owners when they're in the hiring process. What is your match?
Great. And along the same lines, we're advising our clients to think about profit sharing and think about safe harbor matching contributions. We're talking about and matching in general. And we're also talking about new comparability testing. So can we talk for a moment about what new comparability testing, because for many of the people that will hear this, and it will be in the thousands of people in the Bay Area that will hear this, they don't know that term new comparability. What does that mean?
As everybody's aware, companies are allowed to put money in plans for their employees. I mentioned the match earlier. That is a typical way. The employee puts in a dollar. The company will match that with a certain percentage of that dollar, usually with some sort of cap. There is another mechanism where employers can contribute to retirement plans on behalf of their employees. It's called a profit sharing plan. Now, the important part of these profit sharing, and it's free money for the employee, it's the employer writing a check. The important part about that is who gets what? How is that money split up? 20 years ago, it was all even. But now, through this new comparability, also called cross-testing, there's other terms of it. It's a different method by which employers can put money into a plan for their employees. And they can break out their employees into groups. And some groups can get a higher percentage of pay than others. So that's where this new comparability term came into play. Think of it as a different way for employers to contribute to profit-sharing plans in 401ks, company contributions, to participate in that way and pick and choose certain groups that get a higher percentage. That's really what it is.
Okay. Eric, with companies today, as business is picking up, sometimes they want to put even more money away. So we go to the next step, which is a cash balance plan. And now we're talking about a defined benefit plan. Very quickly, without getting into weeds, what is it and when should a company entertain it?
I'll answer the second part of the question first. When should a company contribute or establish a defined benefit or slash cash balance plan, which is a hybrid of defined benefits? So let's just consider that a defined benefit plan. When we look at what we can do in a 401k, which is a lot more than a Roth, you know, we can get up to $26,000 with catch up for somebody 50 or over. Our company can contribute, and we can get up to about 63.5, you know, in the $60,000 range. But some businesses, especially here in the Bay Area, where our economy is still going, I'm doing more business than I ever have during this pandemic era. So business is still going pretty strong, especially in the B2B, business to business, rather than the retail. The retail definitely is hurting, but the B2B is doing good. And they're telling me, hey, that 401k plan is not enough money. I want more to go in. We're more profitable than we've ever been. I want more to go in. When that $60-ish thousand dollars afforded to us in a 401k plan doesn't get us there, then we start looking at a cash balance plan, a defined benefit plan. That's where it comes into play. I'm normally doing it for a little bit smaller companies, maybe a couple owners, 4 or 5 employees. The numbers pencil out really good for those types of companies. And bigger companies as well, but it is more tailored towards a smaller company. And we are seeing more activity in that space than we ever have before.
Okay, so it's just a lot more money going away, isn't it? I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars tax deferred, isn't it, Eric?
Absolutely it is. And that's why it's so attractive to those businesses that are doing so well.
Okay. So we are fiduciary advisors on every plan. We are what's called 321 and 338 fiduciary advisors, which means we are responsible for basically everything having to do with that plan outside of contributing to it and getting the money to the platform as quickly as possible. And we're platform agnostic, which means it doesn't matter to us whether you have Transamerica or TD Ameritrade or John Hancock. It matters to us that you like what you have and that you've got the most competitive plan out there that fits the needs of the employer. But how important is it to have a fiduciary advisor on your plan? Because we know that there are companies out there that they don't even care whether you have an advisor or not. Some platforms out there, I won't mention their names, but we know they're out there. How important is it to have a 401k fiduciary advisor?
At a lot of levels, it's extremely important at a lot of levels. But let's back up a little bit and talk about how retirement plans operate. Now, they give us a tax deduction. So now the federal government is involved. And the federal government, with this oversight, has one overriding responsibility, and that's to protect the retirement dollars of employees. That is their number one guiding principle, really. We had legislation back in the early 70s, ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Securities Act. It was a piece of legislation met, and it's still ongoing and amended constantly, ongoing, to protect participant account balances. So what do they want to protect from? They want to protect from employers going out of business and all the money's gone. They've done a pretty good job of that. The other thing is they want to protect against over fees being charged and lack of education of the employees who are making their own investment decisions. Now that's a different task. That's a task that employers can't really do themselves. They need to reach out. They need to reach out to a fiduciary advisor. The role and responsibility of the fiduciary advisor with oversight from the government through ERISA is to help protect employees' account balances. One of the ways to protect it is so it doesn't shrink away through fees. That's what a fiduciary advisor is there to help with. The other one is that employees in the end are making their own decisions and some just have no idea. They're just not educated in financial investments. instruments. And that's, again, the role of the fiduciary advisor to help educate employees so that they can make better decisions. There's one statistic that has always bothered me. There's just so much money in these retirement plans, over 30% sitting in cash instruments, earning nothing. And I believe that's due to a lack of education to the employees on how to invest their money. So again, that's where a fiduciary advisor really comes in. So not only does it provide protection to the employer that you're following the government's mandate to operate this plan in the best interest of employees, not only is it doing that, helping employers, but it is helping employees make better decisions so that their money can grow better.
You know, you mentioned earlier about fee compression, and you just mentioned fees again. And I know that we're bringing new plans to employers at a fraction of what we did a decade ago, as far as fees go. Everybody's fees, as they become more transparent, are going down. But it's fees on investments. It's fees. It's our fees. It's just all types of fees, platform fees. Is that the number one goal for employers to lower their fees? Or is it also to find the best plan that may not be the lowest?
Well, the latter. It's one of the goals. But the most important goal is the suitability of the investments in front of the participants. They may be the lowest fees, but if they don't perform well, that's not a very suitable retirement vehicle.
So it's not just about fees. It's about the big picture, the whole picture.
Absolutely, it is. And there's also the education process. You know, we're an online society, I think, especially on investments. The online tools have to be top-notch or the participants can be frustrated and not participate. There's a lot that goes into it. Fees can't just be the only checkbox that you have. I know from working with Elliot, when he does his due diligence, there's 20 different checkboxes that this investment provider must provide. They must perform on, or they just don't get to even be in front of the client. So fees are part of it, but they are not the only part.
Okay. So we know that we're going to be talking right now to administrators, to trustees, to people running the plan, maybe to committees that are going to be hearing this. How often should these groups of people review what they have now? And how often should we take these plans to market to make sure that they have the most competitive plan that meets their needs?
Pretty standard, not necessarily outlined in ERISA, but outlined by the industry, is to do at least an annual review. And in that annual review, we're looking at the suitability of it. And now something has changed in those annual reviews. Something has been added, which I'm the big proponent of, is are we doing what we intend to do? Are we creating a retirement plan? Can our participants within this program reach retirement goals and to have money in retirement, enough to retire on? Can it do that? And are they doing it? Those two standards really need to be met. We need to figure out, do we have the proper tools? That's the first part of the review. And is it working? Are employees participating? And if not, what can we do to change that? And in the review process, I think that's where the fiduciary advisor, financial advisor steps in and says, okay, we've made some progress. Hopefully we're making progress every year. We've made some progress, and here's where we need to improve. And just keep moving that goal so that this becomes a vehicle where everybody is reaching a comfortable retirement.
So, Eric, we know what we do to help the employees out and the employers out. We're helping them. We're shopping a plan. We're making sure the fees are competitive. We're educating the trustees. We're educating the employees. We're doing Zooms with employees. We're doing all that. What does Hicks Pension do that is really unique to you?
Well, I don't know if it's unique to me, but a third-party administrator in general, you know, I feel like it's our job to help plan sponsors maintain the tax-deferred status of their retirement plan. If we are not following operationally everything required in a retirement plan, Our plan could be audited, and we could lose our tax-deferred status of our retirement dollars. They could challenge that. They could take that away unless we follow their very specific guidelines on what we're supposed to do. And that happens by way of a compliance testing and an annual filing. So if you look at our number one job, it is to maintain the tax-deferred status of retirement dollars for plan participants. That is number one. The next part of that is that, you know, small businesses just growing and busy, and HR departments wear many hats. They don't necessarily have the time to really focus on this. They are outsourcing it to me. So at my company, at Hicks Pension Services, I really feel like it's my job and my consulting to make this plan work for the plan sponsor, for the employer. Not necessarily have the employer figure out what works for me best, but for me to figure out what works for them best and keep them compliant and approach it that way. So I think that's where we stand out a little bit. We're not one plan fits all. We look at every client individually, separately, and figure out what works best for them.
Great. Well, this has been great. We've been talking with Eric Peterson, one of the owners of Hicks Pension Services, a local third-party administrator on 401ks, profit sharing plans, and defined benefit plans. So if you've got one and you know you want some help with it, that's what we're here for. So Eric, I want to thank you very much for being part of this.
Thanks for having me, Elliot.
Welcome, and we'll see everybody again real soon. Have a great day, everyone.